coming out today and being a part of the service. Always good to see the kids come, and the older kids and the in-between kids. And amen. Yep. I'm falling apart. Heaven forbid that a preacher loses his notes. Somebody asked me one time, how do you remember all that stuff, preacher? As long as my eyes still good, I can remember. Our preachers need help, just like everybody. Now, there's some things that I don't need notes for, but really, I have my notes so I won't get lost. I tend to wander sometimes. That's called rabbit trails. And I'll tell you, there's been preachers going so many rabbit trails, I'm surprised old Bugs is still walking around. Because sometimes preachers shoot them rabbits real quickly, but I have so much stuff, I never know what I have all kind of things. It's like a woman's pocketbook. I got stuff in here, I never know whether I'm going to need it or not, but if I ever do, it's there. But there's one thing I don't need notes for, and that's to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's an everyday thing. This morning, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. Kind of started off in the Sunday school class with looking at the free gift of God. And I told them, I'd take anything that's free, and Brother Bill brought me a newspaper this morning. Allah Akbar, Rabbi Allah Akbar, that means of Allah be praised. And that's, of course, whenever they go to cut somebody's head off, that's what to say. But he said, you don't want this, do you? And I said, sure, I'll take it. He said, well, you don't know what it is. I said, well, I see what it is. I'll take it. I'll take anything. I told him, I said, I've got books in my library on the occult and demonology and everything else, all kind of satanic book. I even have a book on how to do satanic rituals. So y'all be nice to me. I might go home and put some pins on a doll with your name on it. People think, well, you know, you shouldn't have those things in your house, preacher. Well, how are you going to know your enemy if you don't know what he's up to? I tell people, this man I worked with one time, he says, you got them devil's books in your house? I said, yeah. I said, do you have a Bible in your house? He said, yes, I do. I said, what kind of Bible is it? He said, it's the New American Standard. I said, well, you got the devil's book in your house too. You got the NIV. You got the Nearly Inspired Version. But you see, it doesn't matter what the book is. The book is not going to hurt you. It's what's in the book that hurts. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know the truth from the error. But you have to know the error in order to know the truth. And you know the error by knowing the truth. You know, when you go to work for the bank, they have a class where they take their tellers and they teach them how to spot counterfeit money. You know how they do it? They let you feel the real thing. They don't let you see the counterfeit stuff. They let you handle the real stuff. So when you handle the phony stuff, you'll know it by the feel. Just like a lady over in England years ago, she was bedridden, and she had this neighbor. And this neighbor was an antichrist. You know, she always liked to pick at her because she was a devout Christian, but she was not able to get out and go to church. So one day she came over and she said, Effie said, you need to turn on your radio because the Lord's speaking today. And she said, oh, really? I didn't know that. She said, well, turn your radio on. So she turned it on, and this fella star was saying something, and about 2 minutes into it, she says, you can turn it off now. I've heard all I need to hear. She said, well, don't you want to hear what your Lord has to say? She said, that's not my Lord. I said, my Lord knows the true Lord, Jesus Christ. She said, that's one of those lords over there in Parliament. I don't want to hear that government stuff. She knew the difference between who the Lord of Parliament was and who the Lord of Heaven is. But it's not to say that you need to wallow in the occult or whatever, but you do need to have some basis to know where they're coming from. Because then they, when they spring stuff on you, it's like we'll soon be springtime and May will be coming along. And when I was a kid going to school, I remember we used to have May Day at school. We'd go around the Maypole and all that stuff. See, that's a satanic festival. But if you don't know it's satanic, you just go along and have fun with it. But that's really a satanic festival of bringing in the new crop season and fertility and all of this stuff. So it's just another way of appeasing a pagan god. It's not a Christian at all. And a lot of stuff that schools do these days are not Christian by any stretch of the imagination. And even the Christian stuff they used to do is not even done anymore. Talking about spring break and Easter and all this stuff. But that's because you need to know who your enemy is. And the best way to do that is to know who your friend is. Jesus said, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I like to tell jokes and I like to tell stories. And I believe Jesus told jokes and I believe he told stories. And I believe he did that for a reason. Laughter does good like a medicine. And I got this story. I love to tell preacher jokes. And this is a story about a preacher. And he's sort of like everybody else, has a wife and has a son who's in college. And some of you know about kids in college. Well, this preacher, he and his wife were having a little difficulty figuring out exactly where the kid was as far as his head. He's going to this school and everything, but he doesn't really seem to have much ambition. And so preacher, he was home for the weekend and he was out on a date. And so the preacher told his wife, he said, when he comes home tonight, I've put a test up in his room. I'm going to find out a little bit about this character. She said, what do you mean? He said, I've put out a plan on his dresser and I'm going to hide in his closet and I'm going to watch what he does. And whichever thing he goes to, that's what he's going to be in life. She said, what do you mean? He said, well, I tell you, I put a Bible up there on his dresser. He said, if he goes over there and picks up that Bible, he's going to bless my heart and be a preacher. He said, I put a $100 bill on that dresser. If he picks up that $100 bill, he's going to be a banker, and we can always use a banker in the family. Then I put a bottle of whiskey up there. If he takes a drink of that, I guess he'll be a drunkard. I put a deck of playing cards up there. If he picks that up, I guess he'll be a gambler. He said, I put a Playboy magazine up there. I guess if he reads that, he's going to be a playboy. She said, are you sure this is going to work? He said, trust me. So just before midnight, he goes up, hides in the closet. The son comes in, goes up there, turns the light on, and voila, comes over to his dresser, picks up the Bible, puts a $100 bill in his pocket, takes a drink, shuffles the cards, and sits down and starts reading the Playboy magazine. Preacher ran out of the closet. Down the stairs he went, oh my, oh my, oh my, I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe it. She said, what happened? He said, you know what that kid did? He picked up the Bible. He picked up $100. He took a drink. He shuffled the cards and he's reading the Playboy magazine. She said, what does that mean? He said, it means he's going to be a politician. So anyway, that's as far to Washington as I'm going to get this morning. Speaking of rabbit trails, you get into talking about Washington, D.C., you'll be on one from now on. But it is good to be back here this morning. I tell you, I was kind of shocked when I came in. I'd gone to Franklin Health and Rehab Friday morning. I came home and the little light on the answer machine was blinking. And I figured, well, one of them telemarketers must have gotten in touch with me. But it was Brother Bill. And he said, I hope you can come and be with us. So I picked up the phone and talked to Donna. I said, I'll be there. And here I am, and I'm so glad to be here this morning. I always enjoy coming to Ringgold and being here with you, and just like I'm at home again. I told him this morning in Sunday school, I said, well, I've been on vacation for 2 weeks. Now I'm back to the job again. But but I am thankful you still remember me and will have me come whenever you need it. And as long as God is my Savior and God is my strength and my buckler, and you call, and if anyway, I'll be here. So thank you for letting me come back again. That's one of the best things about being a preacher. You go preach somewhere and you always wonder the first time how things went. And if they never call you back, you know how they went. But it's always nice when you get a call back, and then a call back on a call back. And well, it's that's fine. I appreciate it. And this morning I want us to go to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to look at just five words, the first five words of verse 9, but we're going to work our way to it. And the first five words of verse 9, that's where we're going to take our text this morning and look at what it has to say. But let's begin verse 1 of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, come not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Father, we have now read the text of your word. We just ask the Spirit of God that you might use him to speak to our hearts today, that we might glean from your word, that we may grow in wisdom and grace and truth and spirit. Lord, that Jesus be uplifted here today, Father, you be glorified is our prayer. That the lost may come to know Christ, that the sanctified in Christ may grow stronger. In Jesus' name we pray, again for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. But as it is written, five of the most beautiful words in the English language or the Greek language or any other language for that matter, because it has one reference, this holy book that we have here this morning. Verses 1 through 5, Paul gives an exhortation of what a preacher of God would do. In verse 1, a preacher of God should always come to the brethren with just plain speech. We don't need the high and mighty words of the learned. In fact, you remember the disciples, the world looked at them and said, these are unlearned men. You see, the disciples were men who the world looked down upon because they were fishermen, tax collectors, lowlifes, unlearned because they hadn't been to the best schools and sat under the best teachers. But the Word of God said, but they took notice that these men had been where? With Jesus. You see, when you have the wisdom of God through Jesus Christ, you have the wisdom of God. Paul says, we came not with the excellency of speech. Brother Bill was getting ahead of himself. He sang verse 3 and we were on verse 2. It's easy to do because those verses are very close together. And I, for one, if my bifocal misses the line I'm on, heaven forbid where I might end up. But you see, Bill didn't go into a whole rigmarole, oh no, I messed up, oh I've done, no, he just did what's human. He just laughed about it and went on. You see, the first when you make a mistake, a lot of times it'll go unnoticed unless you try to correct it right quick. When I was in radio, they taught us, when you're on the air and you're speaking, whether you're reading a commercial, if you stumble, don't stop and correct it. Just go on, because most of the time they didn't catch it anyway. Unless it's a real big boo-boo, then maybe. But if you stop and change it or try to correct it, then, oh, he made a mistake. The other way, they say, did he say? No, I'm not sure what he said, you see. So Bill didn't get all huffed and puffed and all of that stuff. He just simply laughed it off and kept on going. That's what Paul says. We're just plain, simple folk. We don't need to have all these big words that nobody knows the meaning of. After all, it's just the plain old truth that matters. In verse 2, he said, I came here determined not to know anything about any of you except one thing, are you saved? Hey, if I know you're saved, that's all I need to know, because the rest of it will come later. See, a lot of people want to find out who you are, what you are, why you are, and all this other stuff. And Paul said, I just want to know, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, let's start there. I could care less whether you're a banker or a funeral director or a senator or whatever. It doesn't matter. Because what matters is you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's why we're here today, to uplift Him. All we do is gather together, how? In spirit and in truth. We didn't come here to make ourselves known or to be fancier than you or better than you. We came for the simple fact that what we have is plain truth, and we just wanted to share our common belief together. That's all it is, because we love Him, because He first loved us. Paul in verse 3 says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. What Paul is saying here is, he said, I was with you in everyday life. We came in here this morning. I got here a little bit later. I'm running kind of late as usual. You ever have those days? I've had too many of them lately. You look at the clock, and then you look at it again 10 minutes later and it still looks like it was the same time it was 10 minutes ago. Then you realize it's not 9 o'clock anymore. It's quarter after. You got to get going. And when you do that, of course, you're late. So I was running a little bit behind, but I came in and people were taking prayer requests and talking about this, that, and the other. And we all shared common needs. Nobody in here had any more than anybody else, or any less, really. We all got the same problems. Problems at work, problems at home, problems with health. And Paul says, we came together in everyday life. That's what we are. We're everyday people. Sly and the Family Stone, years ago, back in the late 60s, had a song, I'm every person. We're all every people. We all have the same needs and desires. I was coming up the road, and somebody was doing a promo for a religious program, said, are man and apes related? Sure, we're related. We were created on the same day, the sixth day. We breathe the same air. We eat the same foods. We live on the same planet. We're related. We're just not family. They're the family of the creature. We're family of the man. And if you're saved, you're family of God. See, we're all part of this universe that God created. We're all related as a brotherhood of man, but we're also related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the difference is. Paul said, I came to you with every day. We all had the same problems. We asked for the prayer requests to pray one for another. Believe you me, I go to 5 nursing homes a week. I get to get right in the middle of all of the despair and the problems. But you know what? That's just training for me, because I'm going to be there one of these days too. At least God has given me an idea of where I might want to land one day if I have to go that way, if the Lord don't come back, and I'm hoping He does. But we all part of that same problem. Paul said, for everyday life. Then he says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom. No, we don't live by the philosophy of man. You see, that's the problem in the world today. People are listening to the philosophy of man and not the Word of God. He said in verse 5 that your faith should not be, that should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith is God-based. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. God thought it. Jesus bought it. The Holy Spirit brought it to us. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit so that we can understand the Word of God, as we're going to talk about in just a moment. Howbeit, in verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. Who are the princes of this world? That's any doctor so-and-so that has a PhD behind his name, thinks he knows more than you do. That's all a princess is in this world. It's just those who are higher educated. You ever heard somebody say, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good? Well, they're so righteous minded, they're better than you, and you're no good. The big difference between the professor at the university and the school teacher down here at the elementary level, the principles are the same, though, because they're all teaching heresy. But he says, your faith is God-based. It's not based upon Socrates or any of those great philosophers of their day. Of course, now we have all the great philosophers of our day. But God put them all together here in the letter to the Corinthians. Paul said, proclaiming themselves to be wise, they're nothing more than fools. As Dr. Roloff used to say, a man could go to every university and school in the world, get every degree, have it all on his wall. But if he doesn't know Jesus Christ, he's just a smart idiot. And that's true. So Paul in verse 6 and 7 and 8 of our introduction. In verse 6 he's telling us we know the truth. We stand on the truth. In number 7, where we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That mystery we talked about in Sunday school, the church. Now been brought forth to all the world. But here's the problem in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. You see, as smart as they are, they still do not know the truth. They know what they think is the truth. But Jesus said, if you knew the truth, you would be what? Free. We talk about free this morning. I love stuff that's free. I took an Islamic newspaper. Why? Because Bill offered it to me. It'd probably end up in the trash can. I'm going to take it home. Mom said, what in the world did you get that thing? What are you bringing that thing in here for? Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. No, not praise to Allah. You know the Arab god Allah was stolen from the Babylonians? That's not even their god. They had to steal one. Now they don't know the true God, but we do. And Paul said in verse 9, but as it is written. That means man doesn't know the truth, but the Word of God is truth. Verse 10, but God hath revealed. You and I here this morning, we have the greatest revelation in the world. We can open up our Bible and understand what God has to say. Now, natural man, he can use some of the principles. There's this fella that comes on TV. Looks like the old devil himself, got a beard and everything. He plays a piano and tells you how to make money. Mike Murdoch, any of y'all ever seen him? He knows just enough of the Proverbs and the Psalms to figure out how you can make money, but he has no idea what they're talking about. In other words, he knows just enough to be dangerous. But we have the Word of truth. We have the Spirit of God living in us, and we're able to discern. That means we're able to understand. We're able to pick it apart and see exactly who and why and what and where he's talking to and about. Because it's revealed to us by God himself through the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't get saved apart from the Holy Spirit. I feel sorry for people who say, I know I need to be saved. One day I will be saved, because God says, no, you won't. Except the Spirit of God draw you, you can't be drawn. Because no man looks for God. God is the one who's doing the seeking. Remember Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac. What did he do? He didn't go to eHarmony.com. He got his servant Eliezer to go down to his family, his wife's family. Eliezer was a type of the Holy Spirit. He went looking for a bride for Isaac. And the Holy Spirit of God came down to earth to look for a bride for Christ. And because we have the Spirit of God living in us, we are part of the body of Christ. We're the bride that will soon be married to the bridegroom. We're sealed by that Spirit of God, and we have insight into His Word. Natural man does not know the things of God. It's revealed by the Spirit of God. In verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man?" It came from man. Remember, Paul went to the backside of the desert for 3.5 years and studied with the Lord. He wasn't taught by man. He was taught by God. He had been taught by man because he was one of the pupils of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel II, he was the greatest mind living at the time. And Saul sat under his teachings. And he's writing this verse of Scripture here. He's saying, everything that man knows, it came from some other man. And I should know because I sat under the man, the greatest of his day. But yet I learned 3.5 years in the backside of the desert alone with God. You see, he had been taught all the world had to offer, but it was God who gave him the whole world. You see, the man can teach you all the things that the world offers. Only God can give it to you. The old devil tried to give it back to Jesus. Can you imagine the devil trying to give the creation back to the Creator? But that's because that's all he knew. Man to man, God gives it to us through the Spirit of God. That's what he says in verse 11. The things of God we knoweth no man, but we who are children of God through the Holy Spirit. Now in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. In other words, we know the truth. What did Pilate ask Jesus? He said, tell me, what is truth? What did Jesus answer him? That's right, he did nothing. He said nothing. You know why? When you come into contact with somebody who doesn't want to know, don't waste your time. Jesus had already told him what the truth was. In fact, Jesus is and was and will always be the truth. Pilate didn't want to know what the truth was. He wanted to ridicule if Jesus had said something. You see, people don't want to hear the truth. They just want you to explain it so they can ridicule you. Jesus said, don't take offense if they treat you badly because they're really mocking me, not you. Because you know the truth. And because you know the truth, you're set free. Remember, Paul was in bonds there in Rome, and he told Agrippa, he said, I wish that you and everybody in this room was as free as I am. He had the shackles on his wrists and his ankles and the belt, the chain around his waist and one around his neck. He said, I wish you were as free as I am except for these chains. He said, if you knew Jesus Christ, you'd be free indeed. That's how you could sing at midnight when the world is going to hell. The earth is cracking open. They could sing because they were singing to the God of glory. We speak the truth, Paul says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Till I started to study the Word of God, I thought I knew about all I needed to know. And all these years later, I still don't know. You see, I found out real quickly that I'm not as smart as I thought I was. But I am smarter today than I was yesterday. Not any prettier, not any younger. But I'm smarter. Why? Because the Spirit of God teaches me how to be smart in the things that matter most. Paul says, not only do we know the truth, but we speak the truth. But when we do that, what happens in verse 14? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they have to be spiritually discerned. You ever had a teacher try to teach you the pi or whatever that R2 times 3? I never could figure that out either. I always wondered what I needed to know about pi and all that stuff. I never have. Only thing about pie I want to know, is it apple, peach, or cherry? Square root of pie. Well, pi r square. No, pi r round. Cornbread r square. That's my learning. Mama didn't raise no dummy. I know the difference between pie and cornbread. Pie's around, it's cornbread. It's square, not the other way around. Unless, of course, you make cornbread in a frying pan like I do. Got this old black iron pot, frying pan, makes the best cornbread in the world. Of course, any cornbread's good in the world to me. I love cornbread. But Paul says all these things we know because we know the truth of God's word. We are taught by the Spirit of God. But as it is written, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, let's make man in our own image. Then man came along with a theory of evolution. Darwin and all these cats, they got together, and Huxley and them, and said, no, it's evolution. You know where Charles Darwin got evolution from? The Bible. He wasn't the first father of evolution. You know who the first father of evolution was? He was the brother of Moses, Aaron. Remember when Moses came down off of the Mount Sinai with those Ten Commandments, and he saw the party going on, and he saw that golden calf, and boy, did he create a stink. And he said, Aaron, what in the world have you done? What did Aaron say? I ain't done nothing, Moses. People wanted something from God, so we got this big old kettle out here, and we built a big fire under it, and we just throwed all of our gold and silver and stuff in there, and look what popped out. That's evolution. Something from nothing. We just threw it all in there and this is what came out. So we said, we'll just dedicate that to God. Now you know as well as I do, the Bible said that Aaron formed that bull, that golden calf, in his own hands. You see, even the evolutionist knows there's no such thing as evolution. But they've been so deceived, they believe they know. But you see, God is the one. That's found in Exodus chapter 32, by the way. Verse 24, then I cast into the fire, and there come out this calf. In Numbers 24, it is written that a star shall come out of Jacob, and he shall have dominion over all the world. Of course, that star was the star of Bethlehem, signaling the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You could take that verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6, and I could preach on that thing from now to eternity. Do you realize what we just said there in those few words? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The first part of that, we could talk for a long time on the humanity of Jesus Christ. God who became man. But look what else he says. Unto us a son is given. That son was the Son of God, the deity of Jesus Christ. What he said in that partial verse of Isaiah 9:6 is what this whole book is based on. We could talk forever over that. How God, a God became man. How man became, or is God. A son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah. There were several Bethlehems, but only one was Bethlehem Ephratah. People ask you, where do you live? Where do you go to church? Oh, it's Danville. You say Danville. Well, it's actually Ringo. People say, ask me, where are you from? I say, well, I'm from Martinsville, because they know the Speedway. But actually, I live in Collinsville. I say, well, I live just below there, because if I say Collinsville, well, where's that at? We have a CenturyLink on my internet, and the thing went kablooey the other day, and I called this fella, and he tried to get the modem to work, but he couldn't do it, so he said, we're going to have to send you a new one. Where do you live? And I said, I gave him the address, and he says, where's that near? And I said, Martinsville. He said, oh, you're near the Speedway. I said, yeah, I live about 6 miles from the Speedway. He didn't know where Collinsville was, but as soon as I said Speedway, Martinsville, he knew Speedway. He said, I asked that because I'm down here in Daytona. I said, Daytona? I know Daytona. I used to live in Daytona. So there it was. I'm talking to a guy about my modem from CenturyLink, which is in Charlottesville, but he's down there in Daytona Beach. At least it wasn't India. Thank God I got somebody who could speak English. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, of all the Bethlehems, only one is where he's going to be born. But as it is written, Matthew 2:1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. John 3, you must be born again. John 4, verse 4, the living water, the woman at the well. John 19, it is finished. In Acts chapter 1, so shall he come again. But as it is written. That's just some of the things it is written. But I'll tell you what. Every one of them is the truth. And you know it's the truth because you have the Spirit of God living in you. And when you say amen, you know what you're doing. You're saying I agree. We say amen, but it's really amen. Or so we think only the highbrows say amen, amen. But amen, amen, that's Aramaic. In Jesus' day, they would say, amen, I agree. Whether you say amen or amen or potato or potato or whatever, it means the same thing when you're talking about Jesus. Because when you're saying, yeah, I agree with that, preacher, you know why? It's the Spirit of God in you telling you. Natural man can't say that Jesus is Lord. Only the child of God can admit that he is the Savior, and he's Lord. I get so frustrated with these preachers say, in order to be saved, you've got to make him Lord. That ain't true at all. If I'd have had to make him Lord before I got saved, I still wouldn't have figured it out, because you can't understand what lordship is until you get saved. No, he's the Savior first, then he's your Lord. And only when you let him. John Hagee likes to say, if he ain't Lord, he ain't Lord at all. That ain't true. He's still Lord whether you believe it or not. Can you be saved and not have Jesus your Lord? Yes, you can. Is it wise? No. Because you're a disobedient child when you deny the lordship of Jesus Christ, and a good chance you're not saved to begin with. Because only those who truly know him can say, yes, he's my Savior, but he's my Lord. Because it all belongs to him. He's the Lord over all. See, that's what a Lord is. A Lord's a master, an owner, and he owns it all. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. And because I belong to him, it belongs to me too. It's all there in the inheritance. It's all there in the testament. Jesus said, this is the New Testament in my body and in my blood. But as it is written. Don't let the world make fun of you, because you know the truth. But don't laugh at the world. Have pity on the world. One thing the Bible tells us over and over again is to remember some things. And one thing that's most important in my life and in your life is to remember who you are and who you were. You are in Christ. Remember when you were not in Christ. You are those on the outside looking in. But don't sit in here and look on the outside. Get out there and tell them about the one who made a difference in your life, Jesus Christ. But as it is written, the one thing Jesus told you and I to do was to go ye where? Into all the world. Why? Because we have the truth. Father, As we close in prayer this morning, we thank you again for the day and for the time. We thank you for the dear people who come and are faithful to come every week. Lord, we lift up this church body to you this morning that you know their needs. You know they need a man in the pulpit who will lead, guide, and direct them. They have one who is candidating. Lord, we just pray that if he be the one, that you'll give them the wisdom and the knowledge to see it and confirm it in their hearts. But Lord, if that's not the right way to go, Lord, also confirm in their hearts that's not the way to go. But Lord, we lift up to you the needs of the church, that you'll lead, guide, and direct us in the way that we should go. Lord, we ask that you'll take what's been said and done here this morning and apply it to all of our hearts, that we may grow in the wisdom and grace of God. Now, Father, we may leave here this morning knowing we are conquerors and more than conquerors, because you've overcame all things. Our humble prayer requests, the unspoken needs of our heart. Lord, you know each one, and you know everything about us. And Father, we just ask that you just might work in such a way that only you could be the reason why things work the way they work. Use our lives to be an example to other people about the love of Jesus Christ. Take all that's been done here this morning, use it for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, again, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and God bless America. Amen.